Isaiah 64, beginning just at the first verse of the portion. And let us hear the word of the Lord. It says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eyes seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." Ending our reading just there, the end of verse 7, assured that the Lord will add his blessing today to this, the public reading of his word. Isaiah 64 and the sixth verse is the words I'd like to take as our text today. It tells us that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Think of the words particularly there in the middle of the verse. We all do fade as a leaf. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on the theme of life's lessons from the leaves. There are many lessons about life, very important lessons that we can learn from the leaves that are all around us. At this harvest time, we're thinking of the plants and the flowers. They've been highlighted by your minister already, how well the church is looking. We think especially of the fruit and the food at this season that comes from those plants. Can I point out to you that many plants and flowers are used as national symbols because they're a reminder of the part that that plant or maybe that flower had played in the history of those people or in the history of that nation. If I could give you some examples, if you think of our own province of Ulster, the national plant was the flax. Maybe the younger people know very little today about the flax, once so prominent in the rural communities, once so much of the flax that was grown. It used to be if you bought a farm of land, there was at least one or two flax holes that was found within it, but I'm sure that that is no longer the case. The national flower of this province is the orange lily that you see so prominently over the marching season. If you think of Ireland and the shamrock, it's associated with St. Patrick, how he used it to illustrate and to teach that great truth of the Trinity. You think of Scotland, the symbol of Scotland is the thistle, not so much the farmer's friend. You might ask this morning, why would a nation choose the thistle as its emblem? I'm sure the farmer would wonder at that. Well, let me tell you why. Whenever the Norwegians were invading Scotland back in the 13th century, they came by night and they came barefooted so that they would be quieter in their approach. And one of those Norwegian soldiers stood on a thistle and he cried out because of the pain. And the thistle became the saviour of the Scots. By that man standing on the thistle, it alerted the Scottish people to the approach of their enemies. And you will know if you follow football, the thistle is included in the names of so many of the Scottish football teams. Think of Wales, the land where we lived for a number of years, that both the daffodil and the lake are used as the national emblem. There's a little confusion, you know. They're not sure whether it's really the one or the other. And the reason why is because in the Welsh language, the word for lake and daffodil are very, very similar. They look very similar. There's just a few letters added to the end of one of them. But they were the daffodil and they were the lake on St. David's Day. It was worn many years ago, way back in the times of St. David himself, on the helmet of the soldiers when they went into one of those ancient battles. So it's clear, men and women, every nation has its national plant or its national flower. The one especially I want you to think about this morning is Canada. What is the national symbol of Canada? It's the maple leaf found on their national flag. The flag itself is called the maple leaf. The maple tree played such a vital role in Canada's history in time past. Not just because of the wood, but also because of the maple syrup. The maple syrup comes from the maple sap. Maybe you didn't know that. Might put you off your pancakes and maple syrup to think that it's the sap of the tree that you're actually taking and eating. But the maple leaf is the symbol of Canada. And what I want you to see, men and women, as we come to this portion of Scripture today, what I want you to understand is that just as the maple leaf reminds you of the Canadian people, so all leaves should remind you of yourself. Because the Bible teaches that people are like leaves. Now what the text is saying, we all do fade as a leaf. Isaiah is showing that there are very clear similarities that can be drawn between people and leaves. We men and women are like the leaves of the trees. Here is a universal symbol of mankind. The autumn is now upon us. The autumn leaves are all around us. You cannot miss them. Maybe you open the door in the morning and there's a little pile of them found. And the fact is this, men and women, as you look down at those leaves, that you and I are just like them. And I want for a moment or two today to tell you how you are like the leaves of the trees. Life's lessons from the leaves. Can I say to you, first of all, that the leaves are fleeting. Leaves don't last very long. They have a very short life. At best, their lifespan is just for a few months. A leaf is on the tree, and so quickly its life is over. No sooner you see the leaves appearing before they start to disappear again. The life of a leaf is fleeting. And isn't the same true of you, my friend? Your life upon this earth, so short, so brief. Remember this morning as you sit in the Lord's house at this harvest time, remember that your life will soon be over. Do you remember what James said? What is your life? It's even a vapour that appeareth for a little time. Notice the words carefully. He didn't say that life lasts for a long time, just for a little time. I'd ask you to take that in. Life doesn't last very long, men and women. Don't fool yourself about that. You've just a little time here upon this earth. You think of the words of Job. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. See the contrast? The fullness of his troubles does not sum up life well. the fullness of his troubles, but the fewness of his days. He doesn't describe life as being many years. He says it's just a few days. Life is so brief, men and women, that the best way to measure it is in the days that you have here upon this earth. You think of what Job said again, "Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good." Think of those words, "they flee away," as describing life. If a person flees away, it means that they're travelling very fast. They're running at great speed. And life is like that, men and women. Your days are quickly running out. Your days upon this earth are quickly running away from you. Life is fleeting. You think of Michael Jackson, the very famous pop star. One occasion he was in a store in Los Angeles. They were leading him through the store. He was on a spending spree. It was a furniture store. And they came to an item of furniture that was in the shape of Tutankhamun, the famous Egyptian king. It was like a coffin. And they asked Michael Jackson, "Would you like to be buried in one of those?" Thought it looked very nice. You see, it was a wee bit different. And this is what he said, men and women. This was the answer he gave. "I'll not need one of those, because I'm going to live forever." Isn't that a very foolish statement? Very foolish answer to give. Far from living forever, he didn't even live to be old. Just 50 years of age. Life is short, men and women. Life is fleeting. You think of what the psalmist said. "Remember how short my time is." And that's something we all need to remember. In fact, men and women, it's something we so easily forget. It's something we all need to be reminded of. You lose sight of it so quickly. How short the time is that God will give to you upon this earth. Think of the farmer in Luke chapter 12. Didn't he think he had a lot of time? He said, "Much goods laid up for many years." Thought he had a long time to live. And maybe that's how you think as well. Maybe that's your outlook upon life. Remember how wrong that farmer was. He didn't even have another day upon this earth. Life is fleeting, men and women. It passes and it ends so quickly. And I want to stress to you this morning the fact that you don't have much time to live. You don't have much time left here in this life or upon this earth. Never forget that, men and women. You need to use your days and your time wisely and carefully. And what that means is you don't have much time to be saved. You don't have much time to prepare for eternity. This is not something that you should delay. It's not something that you should put off to some other time. You need to settle it now. You need to settle it even this very day. You think of what Paul said. "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Do you see the repetition in the verse? Remember that when something's repeated in the Bible, it's not done just to fill out the verse or to fill out the chapter. It's not there just for mere padding. When God repeats something, he does it for emphasis, men and women. "God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." Do you see the little word "now" repeated in the verse? "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." When's the best time? When's the right time for you to be converted? It's now, men and women. And I plead with you to come to Christ immediately, even in this harvest service, this Sabbath morning. The leaves are fleeting. I want you to see as well, as we think of the similarities between ourselves and the leaves, that leaves are fading. The text tells us we all do fade as a leaf. You look around you in the garden, look around you in the countryside, and you'll see clearly how the leaves are fading. They're past their best, they're withering, they're changing colour. And isn't the same true of you, my friend? You're fading too. You're getting weaker, you're getting older. Your sight's not as clear, your hearing's not as good, your mind's not as sharp. Do you remember what old Barzillai said when he was 80 years of age? He had reached that select club of being an octogenarian. He said, "Can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my Lord the King?" Do you know what he's saying? I'm weak in body. I'm now well past my best. He had come to that time in life when he was a burden. Burden to himself and a burden to others. That's what he said. Thy servant be yet a burden unto my Lord the King. He had come to that stage of life when every day, as Solomon described it, was labour and sorrow. His faculties were losing their powers. His mind wasn't as sharp. His taste wasn't as good. His hearing wasn't as clear. He was saying to David, "My body's wearing out, you know. My body's slowing down." And the reality, men and women, is the same for all of us. You think this morning of the wrinkles on your face that increase with the years. Think of the loss of hair. The hair as it changes colour. The aches and the pains, the sickness and the infirmity. The body's slowing down. Don't have the same strength, you don't have the same energy that once you had. All of those things are speaking to us. All of those things, men and women, are reminding us that we're getting older. We're getting weaker. We're fading. Just like the leaf. You just take down the photograph album and look at a picture of yourself just a few years ago, maybe 5 or 10 years ago. And you'll be surprised at the changes. You're not as young now. You're not as fresh as once you were. The reality is, you're fading like the leaf. Of course, cosmetics can be used. So popular today. You can cover the wrinkles. And you can colour the hair, if you have any hair to colour, that is. But as time goes by and the years go on, more time's needed at the mirror. More effort, more money has to be spent. More time has to be given to those things. And the more cosmetics you use, men and women, it just proves the truth of the text. We all do fade as a leaf. We can't escape it. We're going down the valley. And we haven't long to stay. And the warning, men and women, is, you're not going to be here forever. Can I ask you to remember that this morning? You're not going to be here on this earth forever. As David the psalmist said, there is none abiding. No one. No one lives forever. Your body will not last forever. One day your body will wear out. There's only one thing that you have, my friend, that will last forever. And that is your soul, your immortal soul. And I want to ask you this morning, is your soul saved? Can I urge you today? It can be easy at a time like this to be so taken up with temporal things, with the harvest and the material evidences of that harvest around us. Can I ask you to think of your soul today? And make sure before you go from this place that it's well with your soul. You know, it's true the leaves often look their best when they're fading. The colours then are so beautiful. At times they're outstanding. You think of the United States and Canada. The vast number of tourists that go to those countries in what they call the fall just to see the autumn leaves because of the beauty of the colours. And you know, men and women, the same can be true of old age. It can be the most attractive stage of life. That's what the Bible teaches. Think of Solomon's words in the Proverbs. The hoary head, talking about the grey hairs or the white hairs, whichever the case may be. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Older person, do you have that beauty today, that crown of glory? Are you found this Sabbath morning in the way of righteousness? Are you saved, living for the Lord, seeking to use your life and your days for His glory? The leaves are fleeting and the leaves are fading. There's one other thing I'll mention, men and women, and that is this, a solemn truth, that the leaves are falling. You know, a little earlier in this prophecy of Isaiah, he said, as the leaf falleth off from the vine. And isn't that so up to date, men and women, as you look out? Today the leaves are falling. That's not what autumn's all about. Their life is over. And in their thousands, even in their millions, they're quietly fluttering down to the ground. They're on the road, they're in the garden, they're in the yard, they're in the drains. The leaves are everywhere. Why is that, men and women? Because now they're dead. And they've fallen down to the ground. And remember, one day the same will happen to you. There's a day coming when your life will end. There's a day coming, my friend, when you will fall down in death. You think of the little nursery rhymes we sometimes teach the children. Remember, men and women, that in many cases with those little songs and nursery rhymes, there's a far deeper meaning than we ever realise. You think of the one ring a ring of roses, a pocket full of posies, a tissue, we all fall down. That's not just a silly little game, you know, the children would play. That's a reference, it's reminding, or it was one of the ways that our forefathers had of reminding their children of great events in the history of this country. It's a reference to the great plague of London. A tissue. In those days, if you started to sneeze, that was an indication you had the plague. Things weren't very good as far as the outlook was concerned. The falling down wasn't just children playing and rolling about in the garden. It was a reference to death. Falling down dead. And men and women, remember, one day we'll all fall down. I have to remind you of that today. You're going to die. Solomon said it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his heart. Better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. If you had the choice to go to a party or go to a wake, if you had the choice to go to a wedding or go to a funeral, I'm sure you would choose the wedding. Every time you choose the party. But Solomon says you'd be wrong. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. You might ask, why is that? It seems a little strange, does it not? The reason why, men and women, it's better to go to the house of mourning. When you go to the house of feasting, you see, you get so caught up in the fun and all that's taking place, you never think about spiritual and eternal things. But when you go to the house of mourning, a place where death is entered, when you're face to face with death in all its reality, then you think about spiritual things. You ought to, if you're wise. You think about your soul. And you think about eternity. This is the end of all men. The living will lay it to his heart. If you're wise, here's something you'll take to heart. You'll sit up and take notice that we're all going to die, men and women. None accepted. This is the end of all men. Doesn't matter how healthy, how strong you are. This is the end that we'll all come to. You know, in Genesis 5, there's a list of men that lived the longest. Think of Methuselah, the oldest man that ever lived, 969 years of age. And remember, those are actual, literal ages. 969 literal years, as we know them today. But after the age of every one of those men, it says this, and he died. Eight times over in the chapter. The chapter is a solemn reminder, men and women, of the fact that it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter how long you live. There's a day coming when the same will be said about you. Your age might be given, and then he or she, and they died. You ever thought about that, men and women? Thought about death? Your death? Thought about eternity? You say it's the last thing I'd want to think about. You say it's the last thing I'd ever want to consider. How foolish that is, men and women. Do you remember the words of Moses? Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. The Bible teaches that if you're a wise person, you'll think about your latter end. You'll think about death. You'll think about your soul's eternal destiny. And I want to urge you to do that today, men and women. And let me urge you to go a step further. Don't just think about death. I urge you to get ready for death. I heard about John Grisham, the famous author. He had a friend that was diagnosed with cancer, hadn't long to live. He asked him, "What will you do?" And here's the answer that he gave. "There's only one thing I can do, and that is get right with God." And men and women, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are today. Whether you're old or young, whether you're sick or healthy, in God's name, that's what you need to do too. You need to get right with God. Do you remember the words of Isaiah to Hezekiah the king? "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." In the light of the fact of the certainty of death, here's what you need to do. Sort out your affairs, especially your spiritual affairs. Get saved. Get ready to die, men and women. Here are some of life's lessons from the leaves. They're fleeting. And they're fading. And now they've come to the time when they're falling. Can I say this to you just in closing? Remember that a leaf is something that's weak and frail. It doesn't take much to bring the leaf down, even in summer when it's at its best. But especially whenever the leaf is fading, it just takes a gentle touch, a gentle breeze. And men and women, the same is true of you. It won't take much to bring you down. Think of old Eli. He just fell backwards from a wall and he broke his neck and he was gone. Just a simple fall. One day he got some shocking news. And as a result of that news, a simple fall, and his life was over. Can I stress to you, men and women, it won't take much to bring you down, to bring your life to an end. Maybe one day just a stroke, or an infection, or a heart attack, or an accident, or a sickness. All it will take is this: for the wind of adversity to blow in your life, and you'll be gone from this scene of time. The lesson, men and women, is you dare not boast about tomorrow. Maybe you've done that already today. Maybe you did it yesterday. Boasted to some friend of where you'll be the next day, the beginning of the week, the things you'll do, the people you'll meet. You dare not boast about tomorrow. very, very easily and simply, you could be dead and gone before tomorrow even dawns. Sometimes, you know, when we teach the children, we use what are called visual aids. We hold something up to keep their attention, and we hold it up as an illustration of the truth that we're seeking to teach. Well, God does the same thing, men and women. You think of how great a visual aid a leaf really is. You think of how many leaves there are. If I was to hold a leaf up here as an illustration this morning, I'd maybe just hold up the one. But God gives you millions upon millions of this visual aid. You can't miss it as you look out upon the countryside at this scene of time. You can't miss it, men and women. How many times over does God remind you of these solemn and important truths? And I urge you through this week, as you think of the autumn time and the leaves that are all around us, take a moment, men and women, just to think of the truths that they teach us, the gospel truths, the great and vital lessons about life that you ought to learn from them. We all do fade as a leaf. I pray the Lord will write his word upon every heart today.